Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Red Men Radio. Yeah, it's not Paul and Chris. They're in Germany. They are going over to the Munich game. They're going to have a great time over there and hopefully we win over there.
Obviously they're already tomorrow. On the beer, Tom.
Every time they I go know. To these aways, they always get on the beer and send us a message of them on the beer.
I just checked the Instagram stories before I filmed you two. And it was just a pint from like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like...
I'm kind of happy I'm not on the pints from 4 o'clock in the morning, just purely because
I mean, they're not here,
right?
There's nothing to stop us.
It's true.
Drinking, apart from admitting to it.
And I drove here, so.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
You can have four, can't you?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, you're just going to have to make do with us. Hopefully, we satisfy the podcast hunger. I don't know what I'm talking about.
They might enjoy it, Tom. We might surprise them.
You never know. It was someone like Ben the other day, which is
fair. I mean, I doubt it.
No, there was like three comments.
Was there?
No, he's actually quite
good. He knows what he's talking about, Ben, actually.
And he's got a good radio voice, someone said.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So if no one says that on this podcast, I'll take that as a hint that we have terrible voices. I know Ross
has got a good radio voice. I would have. John Machin.
John Machin's got a great radio voice, yeah.
I would love a bedtime
story. It's a sultry tone.
It is.
Yeah, we've got a few things to talk about, but we're going to kick it off with the kickoff question, aptly named. Don Heisenberg says, Anfield is suddenly unavailable for the rest of the season, so which Premier League stadium would you pick to play our home games? This was tough.
I picked several.
Yeah,
I've just ignored it. Well, initially, I ignored the Premier League thing. And I was like, biggest stadium in the world. Let's get all Liverpool fans in there. And I found someone, I think it was in Korea, north or south. Whatever.
So then
I realised that wasn't the question. Okay. And I was like, So I've got three choices, not in any particular order. Wembley was one of them.
Okay, yeah.
Because I thought, that's a Premier League stadium, so I've got that right. Anfield South. As well.
Okay. That's a nice shout.
It's nice and big, but then I thought it's fucking down south, so can't be asked for that. Second one was St James's Park.
I picked that one as well.
Just because I think it's a boss stadium, but it's big as well. It's just worth it for the nosebleed when you go up in the way end. And obviously we'd fill that, but again it was a bit north. Something a bit more local. Bear with me on this one. I've gone with the Etihad.
I've actually picked that as well.
And an airport, just so we can see it full for once.
That's exactly what I said. Etihad to fill it up. That'd be great. We've kind of gone, we've kind of discounted the fact that all Liverpool fans have to travel to this stadium. St. James's Park wouldn't be too bad. It's a while away, but it's not too bad.
But you're not going to play at Everton, are you?
You're not going to play at Goodison because it's going to fall apart. You know what I mean? If we give any atmosphere like we normally do, it's literally going to shake and the bolts are going to fall out of the wood. Yeah. So no chance.
The woodworm won't take it, Tom.
It's a shame Stoke aren't in the Premier League anymore because every time we play there, we win. So every time I've been there and we played there, we've won.
Apart from Gerrard's final.
Yeah, but forget about that. I wasn't there, Ross.
But every time you go, we win. That's what you meant.
Yeah, pretty much. But I don't mind that one. It's a horrible stadium, though. It's a really bad,
Toryville.
It's cold. It's very windy because it's open on the side and all the chairs are bleached. It's horrible. But Bailey made a good point and said we have a really small pitch at Anfield, so we'd have to take that into account. So it couldn't be Old Trafford because it's massive. Wembley's massive. That's the problem, is to help our style of play, it'd have to be a small stadium.
But even if it's a massive pitch, that would help us because we'd just have loads more space.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter. I think we'd go down any pitch.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's the biggest, how are defenders going to defend Mane, Salah and Firmino when they've got loads of space to run into?
No, that's true. The ball no, yeah. I mean, we'll win any game, really, yeah. won't we?
Bailey was wrong. That's what we
learned. Bailey was wrong. He was right, but, yeah, ultimately he's wrong. Yeah, so news in brief. There isn't too much news in brief, unless we've forgotten some. But I've started it off with Chamberlain played for the under-23s the other day, Ross. He only played 40 minutes.
Yep.
Did you watch any of him playing?
No, I didn't. Because it was on Friday night, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So I was with child. My own, obviously. do you know what? I was quite torn because they played on Monday as well, didn't they? They played at Anfield. sorry. It's just to clear these things up. We were talking about R. Kelly before.
We were, go on, sorry.
I felt sorry for Ben and I got a little bit annoyed because the fact that they were going, oh, James is going to make his return, and all the local reporters were saying, you know, he's going to play.
Ben was going down,
yeah,
wasn't
he? Yeah, Ben was going down. Not just for that, because obviously Ben does the development watch and stuff like that. And then he was like, buy your tickets here. And then about an hour before the game started, and before you couldn't buy any more tickets, he's going to play on Friday instead. I thought, you sneaky bastard, why have you just done that? And then from then on, it was like, but he's definitely going to play on Friday, he's going to take part. And I was like, fine. From the glimpses of videos we've seen on social things of him training and what he does on his own Instagram stuff, I thought, he's going to be ready here. But him being physically ready, I reckon they've made him ready and then gone, wait longer because we don't want to rush you back in. You know, you might be match ready, you might be whatever. We're not taking that chance. And I think it's unfair to pile a load of pressure onto him. And this is another problem of we've all been watching videos of him banging in goals against Man City and he's going to do that as soon as he comes back. He's not. As much as we all love him to and want him to. I mean, there's a small chance he might do, but you can't expect that from him.
I didn't watch the full game, but I watched every one of his touches just before we started this podcast, just to see how he got on. And he looked tidy. He obviously looked very reserved. He wasn't going into tackles as you'd... like you want him to in a Premier League game, but obviously you don't want him getting hurt at all. He's just come back. You don't want any injuries at all. So he's just taking it slow, playing a few little tidy balls around. He looked good. There was a great ball. He took the ball, first touch, set it out for himself. Second touch with his left foot, sprayed it to Woodburn on the wing. It was a great ball, and it's just lovely to see that kind of range of passing, and he's not afraid to hit that ball that hard. You know what I mean? Because sometimes when you come back, you're like, I don't want to overextend myself, and he's gone, no, okay, I'm going to try at least one in this game. It was really good to see.
But that's what I mean before, I'm saying by mentally, with all his training and stuff, I don't think there'd be that so much that creeping into his mind, because they would have said, well, you feel ready now, you can stop. He was playing with the ball weeks ago when we were out in Dubai, wasn't he? Just like, we'll have that. But you reckon if you're an opposition player and like you're under 23s, or yeah, it was under 23s or under 18, whatever it was,
under 23s, yeah,
and you're looking at Chamberlain, do you reckon they're going, I'm not going to tackle him as well? Because
that's what I was thinking, because you get a bollock in there, because he's in there basically to get fitness, and he didn't put himself about. If he was putting himself about, that's fair enough, but I think if Oxlade-Chamberlain's kind of not going full force into tackles, and they've obviously took him off after 40 minutes, so it is literally just a training exercise, and I've got it here, would you play him in the running? And the thing is for me is, look, we saw Adam Lallana playing that number 8 role really, really well, and it's something that Chamberlain did fantastically towards the end of the season before he got injured. I don't know if we can afford to bring him in not fully fit or not fully match fit at the end of the season when we're trying to go for things.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to talk later about squad depth and stuff in the first topic, so we'll kind of curb a bit of the talk until then. But would you play him in the running? Do you think we have enough there?
Yes and no. I wouldn't play him like you've just said and go, all that stuff you're doing last season, go and do that again. It's... people want to see him back because obviously he's a great player. Oh, people want to see him back because of, again, I get the City goals and everything else that he did for us last season. They also want him back because he's that creative driving midfield that we've been lacking. To people go, that's the answer, that's what we need. He will provide that, and he will provide that. But again, I just don't think you can expect him to go and, you know, tear up Anfield every week for the rest of the season. I don't think he's got it in him, and I think it's unfair to pile that pressure on him. I would play him if we're 3-0 up.
Mm-hmm.
And go, right, worst case scenario, we get 3 injuries in midfield, then we need you, and there's no choice, whatever. But I wouldn't go as far as just, like, potentially break him again for the season. I think a realistic target for him is next season. Yeah. Get a pre-season under your belt, do whatever you need to do. We've got enough midfielders. Adam Lallana, okay, he's shown in one game, but nothing to get carried away with. That he's another option.
Exactly.
Potentially another option. I know he's not, again, he's not going to set the world alight because he's getting on and stuff. But it was before he came on Sunday, everyone was like, what's going on? Twitter exploded as usual. I was like, oh, he can play football.
He can play it, he can do it. I mean, look, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's injury was a serious injury, and the fact that he's come back, he's ahead of schedule, I think. Mm-hmm. I actually think he's ahead of schedule, and that's a testament to his desire, his commitment, and obviously the people behind the scenes at Melwood and the doctors. And
it's that guy at Barcelona, isn't it?
Exactly, or even the nutritionist. It's only in German, I'm gutted, but there's a video on some German YouTube channel about Liverpool. It might be Liverpool, Germany, I'm not sure, but it was basically them talking to the nutritionist, the one that Klopp brought in, and talking about how she's kind of implemented these different regimes and stuff to help people with regaining just everything that you need in a food as a professional athlete, and they've definitely tailored one towards him.
Imagine,
you know what I mean? We need one in this office.
Give her a challenge.
But that's fantastic, and it's all the people behind the scenes that have helped them there, and you don't want to waste all their work by thrusting them in when we don't need them. But that's my thoughts. Next on it, actually, let us know what you think on Chamberlain, to be honest, because I'm actually quite interested to see what people think. Should you bring him in? Should you rush him back? Do you want to see him back regardless? Maybe we played the last game of the season. It's a tough one. The next little bit of news, not really. He's still a Liverpool player, but I don't think he's going to feature that much for us ever again. Lloris Karius is having a hard time in Besiktas.
What a surprise.
I know. I mean, basically the other day against Konyaspor, they won 3-2. But they were winning 1-0, and then in the 20th minute, Konyaspor go up the other end. Fella has a shot on goal. At least Karius should save it, doesn't save it. Manager slates him, saying, among other things, he says, something is wrong. He has also been unlucky. He is talented, but it hasn't worked out, and we have a problem. Let me put it this way. If I still had Tolga available, I would play him. He's the other goalkeeper who's out injured. So he's...
Was that his manager?
Yeah, his manager. And he was basically getting booed by all the... or jeered by the Besiktas fans. There was rumours that he wanted to come off at half time because of that. It's just, I mean, I've got stats for them here, Ross. I may as well just say them while just before. He's conceded 27 goals in 21 games. That's 1.22 per 90. And he's facing just under 4 shots per 90. So 3.96 shots per 90. Compare that to Alisson Becker playing in a better league. Obviously with a better defence. We've kind of got to put that in there. But he's conceded 17 and 30. That's 0.53 per 90 conceded. And he's facing 2.45 shots per 90. So it's one of them. He's obviously not good enough.
Yeah, but from watching Alisson in the season, how many times has he saved things that he should has no right to go and save?
And then you're watching Karius with a few mistakes.
Well, it's not the first time it's happened to Karius, because there was one way earlier in the season where it might have even been in the Europa League where it looped over him.
Yeah, that was unlucky, but it's...
Yeah, I know, but like positioning-wise and stuff, like, okay, I might be hypercritical there. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of him going over there was to go and regain confidence and to sort himself out.
I know. I
watched that goal back that you've just been talking about. And as soon as it happened, I was like, why didn't you just use your feet? Because he basically jumped. Is that for that thing? Is it in the gif of the robot?
Yeah.
Where he just goes, and the ball goes underneath him. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
I will be very surprised if he ever features for the football club ever again.
I know. And it's so disappointing, isn't it? Because...
Yeah, you got to feel sorry for him, but... Yeah, you got to feel sorry for him, but at the same time, as for every Liverpool fan, the club comes first, and you can't give someone a game because you think, feel a bit sorry for him, can you? So it's like, no, especially now where everything's high stakes.
Yeah. Well, Mignolet's not even getting a game, and it's one of them. Lloris Karius is a mad one for me, because I would have been happy before we got Alisson. I was ready to do an article. I've spoke about this a few times. I've literally got an article draft and all the stats, which didn't end up backing me up, and I changed my mind on it, because I got all these stats, collated all these stats about the best goalkeepers in world football, Alisson and Oblak in there, and seeing how Karius kind of marked up to that, because I felt he was a massive part of how we got to the Champions League final. Talk about, oh no, he conceded loads of goals and he was shaky. He got us there. He was in that team. He was the Champions League goalie. You can't take that away from him. Yes, he destroyed us his legacy in the final, but he got us there. He made some important saves. I remember against Sevilla, especially he made one where he hits it down that goes off the crossbar, and I would have been happy to have him still there. But then we went out there and we just went, no, we're going to get someone world class there, and just look off at the them stats then.
Look at the difference in the whole fan base when you go to Anfield.
I know.
Alisson did it at the weekend at Burnley, with the player coming towards him and just chipped him, despite giving a goal away. Okay, he was fouled. But he's mentally, he wasn't like, wasn't scarred. All the fans around say, go, fucking hell, stop it. And that's exactly what he'd bring back. A note on that, though, from his manager, that is really poor management. Because if you know someone who's obviously mentally scarred from what happened last season, doesn't have the best confidence, okay, he's giving away sloppy goals, don't then go out in the media and then slag him off. What benefit is that to anyone? It's going to make him worse.
I know, and I mean, you've got to kind of put it on Besiktas' defence. I watched the rest of the highlights just from that game, and that defence was terrible as well. So that must be a reason why he's not getting the...
Yeah, it's difficult for goalkeepers, because it always gets highlighted when they make a mistake. Exactly. Is exacerbated because slow motions.
Like David De Gea the other day.
Exactly, but he's got form.
Yeah.
So it's always going to rough that back.
No, it is a shame. I mean... Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's an exercise in getting as much money for him as possible, maybe. You can't see him even being around the squad, especially that was the whole point, is him trying to regain confidence and also show Jurgen Klopp that he can do it again and that he's not a lost cause. But we'll have to wait and see. It doesn't look that way at the moment. And
it's also highlighted that in some respects, you get what you pay for with goalkeepers as well. You could argue, because you just said Alisson was, what, 50-odd million pound, maybe more?
I can't remember. It was
above 50 million pounds, maybe. For argument's sake. Sound.
Yeah.
Every Liverpool fan is happy with him. I've never seen him being slagged off once. And he plays guitar, and he's just boss.
And he rips people.
Whereas Karius was kind of low risk for £4 million or whatever it was, £4.5 million.
And he came with a good pedigree. He was second best in Bundesliga.
In that respect, it's low risk because of what he did. But you can't afford to have a £4.5 million goalkeeper as your first choice goalkeeper anymore. No. Because it just won't work.
No, and we've seen the difference, and brilliant management, brilliant all round. Just buying players, fantastic. One little bit of news, it was Robertson's birthday, and everyone in the squad, it's clear to see, loves him.
Yeah.
We all love him too. He's 25 now.
That's old, isn't it?
You know what I mean? He's getting on.
Yeah.
I'm nearly there too, don't say that.
I'm past it, mate.
Exactly, yeah. We can all laugh at you, it's fine. No, but I mean, 25-year-old playing at maybe not even the peak of his powers yet, but just in terms of how the squad values him, how he is around in interviews recently, he's been doing loads of them over the past few months. He's just a joy to listen to because of his passion and he's down to earth. What a player.
He's just the all-round perfect footballer who's not kind of flashy or in your face or egotistical or anything like that. And it's just one of them mad footballing stories. Like he got rejected for Celtic, saying he was too small or too little to play football, but yet carried on anyway.
Yeah.
So it's proper like cartoon Roy of the Rovers stuff, isn't it? And then, you know, grinded his way out when he was playing football in Scotland, and then obviously ended up at Hull. You know, nobody wants to be at Hull. But again, you know,
that was the stepping stone.
It was the stepping stone, and it's mad to think that Jurgen Klopp saw something in him, or the recruitment team saw something in him. Then I remember like doing the shows in the Inno and going, they don't fancy him, and going, oh, well we don't know anything. And then when he did arrive, he didn't play for months, he carried on, and now you just go left back in a league, arguably in the world.
Yeah.
I love that again, he said he's down to earth, so he does stuff with the food banks, he's always talking about charities, he does stuff for the RC Foundation.
Yeah.
He's boss on and off the pitch, and it's probably helped that Alberto Moreno's been so shit as well, because he's made him look even better.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think he needed to, but it's like the drop-off is Moreno. You're going, oh no, I'd rather have a 50% Robertson on than a fully fit Moreno.
No, of course. I mean, it's weird. When Robertson first came into the team, obviously he came in, didn't really get Klopp style. He said himself in interviews he didn't understand where he needed to be positionally and how Klopp wanted him to play. So then obviously Moreno came in and was doing all right
at the start of last season,
doing quite well. And then obviously you see him kind of progress, and then he gets injured, I think, and then Robertson comes in, and now he knows when he needs to be on the field, now he knows how he needs to play, now he knows the overlaps. And I can't see a Liverpool team now where Robertson isn't in. He's up there with the first five names on the team sheet, being Alisson, Becker, Virgil van Dijk, Nal Robertson, Fabinho.
He's part of the sparring.
Front three. You know, he's part of the sparring, but on the wing, it's mad. Yeah. You see how James Milner was so integral in that season when he played left back and how we played through him. We kind of do that with Robertson, but he's just so good. And I'm made up that everyone in the team loves him. It's
mad to think we had so many holes in that team not so long ago. Yeah. And going, how do you fill that position? How do you fill that position? Goalkeeper, we just mentioned one. Left back was another one. Trent sorted out right back effectively.
Yeah. And Gomez when he gets back.
And Gomez exactly. So that centre half, and you're going, fuck, that's hard. That's hard to do. And it's not as easy as people think. It's not FIFA or Footy Manager where you just go, I'll have him, whatever. There's loads of things you have to take into consideration when you're buying someone, and especially someone that was effectively free because we gave them Kevin Stewart for £8 million. Yeah. Is mind blowing. I think it might have been post Neymar. At that time as well, which inflated again. And to go and get someone like that who's consistent, and then the period where he wasn't playing, Moreno was there and he was learning tactically where to be. I think he didn't moan; he just said, you know, he was getting frustrated at not being inside, but he was working on it.
Yeah,
sound all for it.
That's exactly what you want. I mean, it's great recruitment. Once again, you're talking about these signings, even Chamberlain. We just spoke about three people there in Chamberlain, Alisson, and now Robertson, and in terms of fantastic buys and long may it continue. I mean, if you want to see more of the news surrounding Liverpool FC, we obviously do Reds News Roundup every single week. Steve's going to be in tomorrow to record that, so we'll get that done nice and early for you so that we can put that out so you've got something to listen to before the big game tomorrow, which we will talk about later.
Just one more thing on Robertson as well, why I think he's appealing is his personality.
Oh, it's amazing.
So many times, like, footballs, like sedentized with footballs that are kept a distance away from fans all the time, and you post-match press conference saying the same thing, and like they're made to look out thick because you go, oh yeah, 3 points where, like, there's so many like memes and gifs and images of Robertson like just doing something stupid, and you think, good, yeah, I want someone a bit Van Dijk,
I love that picture.
Oh, when he did his was it his so many appearances or something? I know he signed a new contract.
Yeah.
And he's like just pulling stupid faces. And I was like, God, I want someone who's got a bit of personality about them, someone who wants to enjoy themselves. Like, it just reflected through him.
Yeah.
But a lot of footballers aren't up for that. A lot of footballers keep the distance, and the club are so protective over images and what people say and what they do. I think it's best to have someone that does that.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. We're just going to flog a bit of merch to you guys right now.
Got some merch.
These are some new shirts, Threads for Reds. Can you get these on the website?
Or they not come on website, soon? These from Threads for Reds.
Oh, really?
We'll put the link in the description.
So, Lon, if you want to cut to my camera first. So this is a Virgil van Dijk one. So it obviously says Calm As You Like, number 4 right there. And I'm holding it weird, but I've got to speak into the mic.
I really like it if there's something on the back of that, Tom.
Oh, you know what, Russ?
What?
You didn't look.
Have I? Oh, look at that.
Look. I'm trying to hold it and not look stupid.
You're not doing it very good.
No, not very well. Well, I've got to talk into the mic as well.
You don't want to see your face.
So, look, I've got to talk into the mic. Virgil van Dijk 4. This is the back of the shirt. I quite like it. Yeah. There you go. There's one. You can get that, I think.
This is another one. What's your favourite song, if it's not Virgil van Dijk, currently?
The most out now, I'm messing. It's the Bobby Firmino
song. Is it really? How's that go?
What?
How's that go?
Something about Si Senor.
Like this?
Oh, look at that. It's like we rehearsed.
I know, but we didn't.
There you go. Now you're holding it weird. Ross, stop holding it weird, man. You look stupid.
Yeah, but you're doing like all this stuff.
Hopefully it's in the shot.
Is it in the shot? There you go.
There you go. I actually quite like that one. Bobby Firmino's face.
RF9,
there you go.
So this and loads of other stuff available on a brand new Threads for Reds website, so you can check them out on Twitter
there
as
you
well.
Go.
Any information. Apparently, they've got a competition coming up as well.
Stellar advertising. Anyway, we'll move on to topic number one. And that is, I've named this Lallana v Burnley in squad depth because I didn't know how to really phrase this because, look, we spoke before, Adam Lallana comes into the team, everyone's a bit worried, saying, oh, can he do it, blah, blah, blah.
Worried? People are more than worried,
Tom. It's a meltdown, but it's another case of Liverpool kind of showing now that we've got a bit of depth. Maybe not in defence yet, But in midfield, especially, if you think about the players that we've got, we've obviously got Fabinho, Milner, Lallana, Keita, Hendo, Shaqiri can sort of play there if we needed him to, I guess. Mm-hmm. He plays in the middle, sort of. Mm-hmm. Obviously, did I say Genie? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you've got players in there. You've got options in there. Lallana is another one of them options. And him coming off the bench and... After having Paul said it right, we've built him up to this point in terms of
dropping him against Everton,
dropping him in later on in games, getting his fitness together, getting his match sharpness back, and then he puts in a performance like that against Burnley, which was stellar. Really, yeah. Really was good for how long he's been out, and it reminded a lot of people, I think, just what he can bring to this team. I'm not saying he's going to be first name on the team sheet. I'm not saying that. But as a squad player,
yeah,
that's what we're talking about here. We need to be able to use these and rely on these people when fatigue sets in.
Football is so fickle, isn't it? I understand people's frustrations of saying, you know, even against Everton, why he came on, people were baffled by the substitutions and whatever, and ultimately when he started against Burnley. Concerns, I understand that, like you said, people were worried, like, why is he starting? I get that. I was on that ship.
Yeah.
But there was, okay, Twitter isn't the place for people being reasonable, but it was like, well, we're from the title. Mm-hmm. We already lost this game. I don't know why I'm starting. Going, those people not learning. It's a minority. We'll express it. It's a minority, yeah, of people that, but well, I'm not blaming everyone. How many times has he not played someone or people haven't started? Like Robertson, Chamberlain, people you just mentioned then. Shaqiri, Keita, Fabinho's another one. But why is Fabinho not starting? Why is he not starting? Well, because we're trying to mould him into something that he wants, and now he's fucking bust.
Exactly.
Keita and Shaqiri are the same, even though they've had good spells and stuff. I think in certain games, they don't do what Klopp requires them to do.
And they will eventually, won't they?
Which they will do eventually, yeah. And the end-to-end games, when it's United, Everton, big games, I get there's a lack of creativity in the field. I understand that. I understand the frustration of wanting to do that. And, you know, you can say in hindsight, had Shaqiri come against Everton, we conceded the goal, will you be going, well, why didn't you bring Milner on?
Mm-hmm.
Which effectively, in the end, and equally, okay, it doesn't really matter because we beat Burnley. And again, it's all on perception. So Adam Lallana, 2 years ago, one of our best players, ultimately player of the season.
Well, he did the he played Klopp's system exactly how he wanted it. He played that gegenpress fantastically, and we saw that against Burnley in the way he chased it down. He's one of the only players I've ever seen to score a goal from pressing the goalkeeper, which tells you everything about him.
Which
his close control is fantastic. We met him a few times. We did a video with him. Name drop. We did some videos. Obviously, we did the Lallana Tain video. If you haven't seen that, go and watch it, because it's us learning the Lallana Tain off the man himself, which is basically a moving Cruyff Tain, but it's still a good little move. You see it all the time. And as a man, he's really nice. You speak to him, and he's down to earth, and you see him on the pitch. He's passionate.
Yeah.
He screams.
Did you see his celebration when the
I just caught a glimpse of it because I was like, "Who's on?" Because I didn't know what happened. All I saw was someone throwing himself at the ball. I was already screaming for a pen.
Yeah.
And then I just saw him on the deck, just going, "Yeah!" And I was like, "Ooh, Adam Lallana, boss!" And it is that passion, isn't it? That. He brings a lot to the side. I'm not saying he's going to do it to the highest level that
people want people to be the best every week, but the whole point of having squad depth is to have someone that can come in and draft them in for certain games.
Yeah.
Their style suits the opposition.
Yeah.
In effect, so like he bossed against Burnley. I don't expect him to be anywhere near Bayern Munich.
No, he plays against Fulham, maybe. Keita comes in against Fulham. Again, another player in the squad.
Options, but again, it's that perception thing of, I don't think people should be surprised that he's had a good game.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
he's a good player.
He's not stupid, is he?
He was going to go to the World Cup with England, wasn't he? And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why every single manager since he played for Liverpool has loved them and has wanted them in the side.
There is also the added frustration of, and again, I get this with people saying, well, we've waited a year for Naby Keita.
Of course.
Spent all this money.
Valid.
Yeah. Why is he not playing? And I get that, which is not Adam Lallana's fault. And I think he's getting a bit of stick for that, going, well, you shouldn't be anywhere near the team. We've moved on since you, mate. We've got even Shaqiri could put in midfield.
Well, you spoke about Fabinho before, and it was a perfect point, and everyone knows it. You spoke about Robertson saying it before. We're training them up in this position. Yeah. Naby Keita, had very, very good attributes that fit our style of play.
Yeah.
You watched him at RB Leipzig, and he was fantastic. The way he pressed high, the way he beat a man, the way he wasn't afraid to take him out, and you're like, that's exactly what we want. But there's a difference between doing a RB Leipzig and doing it for Liverpool, Jürgen Klopp's Liverpool. You've got to learn the different nuances. You've got to learn how to get back. You've got to learn the speed of the Premier League. And he will get there. Yeah. Jadon Shaqiri's the same. And I think he's a different player in terms of, right, we see Mo Salah up top right. Right wing, and he doesn't do too much defensively. And I think if Mo Salah ever gets knackered, you put Jadon Shaqiri over there and you go, do what he's been doing, be our outlet ball.
Yeah.
And maybe we're trying to mould him into that. That's a hard, hard position to play. Jadon Shaqiri's quite suited to that, I feel, being the outlet at Stoke. It's one of them, you're right, you use them for certain situations, squads.
Yeah. I quite like the fact that Klopp doesn't feel pressure, not that I thought he would do anyway, is to play Naby Keita week in, week out. He doesn't have that same mindset as fans that we do, going, shit, I need to play this guy because I've just spent a load of money on him and I waited a year for him.
Yeah,
he needs to play. But he's not going to play someone at the risk of losing games for us in that effect. So, good, I'm glad he's not playing. And when he came up before the game, so the team news came out and then the fume started, and then it was like, well, Adam Lallana's been good in training, why wouldn't he start? Good, that's what I want a manager to do, reward people who are grafting the bollocks off in training. Not to say that he didn't say that Shaqiri and Keita weren't, but again, they just need to go, well, can't go and do what he's doing.
Yeah,
and you can be in the conversation, and until you know your role and you don't, and you start grafting,
there you go,
you'll be in the team,
and they'll be backing better players for it, and we'll be a better team for it. That's your midfield squad depth. Obviously, we're kind of lacking in the defensive side of things. We've got Lovren and Gomez returning shortly, we hope. I mean, Lovren should be here before Gomez. So then we've got cover. It's weird. Would you think we need to go out there and maybe strengthen a bit more? Obviously, the one I'm thinking about is left back. There's talk about Moreno wanting to go to Barcelona, and Barcelona want him to be the...
What, for a whole day?
Do you want him as an understudy for Jordi Alba, Ross? Rumours, but you know what? He fits the style.
From Don Balon?
You know what I mean? No, but it fits the style. Everything about how they play. And he's short, fast, and can get up the pitch. Jordi Alba's obviously better than him, obviously, but I think Moreno would be a good fit, and probably Coutinho's had a word in everyone's ear and gone, I want my mate here. So do you reckon we might need to go out there, strengthen up there? Are there any other positions, maybe right back, that you want to strengthen up? Or are you just going to promote from youth? What are you going to do?
A bit of both is what I'd do. I think a lot of it depends, or some of it depends, on what James Milner wants to do, because again, there's been links with him going back to Leeds United, and I think we were linked with one of their players, I can't remember his name, it was on one of the Reds news shows. He could ultimately be right back, left back cover, and doing an adequate job. Okay, it won't be a step up from Trent, Gomez or Robertson, but there will be times where he'd be needed. And if you're getting more midfielders in there who are coming through, or we're going to buy someone else, what do you think? Kate's going to play a lot more, Shaqiri's going to play a lot more, Fabinho's asserted his own role in there, Genie's in there, there's a lot of players in that midfield. So I think you could probably pad it out with Milner in parts. Centre halves, I struggle with, because the amount of injuries.
That's the thing, isn't it?
And
can you trust
if Lovren was fit today, I wouldn't play him against Bayern Munich.
Stick with Matip.
Matip, he's been in great form. Again, another one where you have preconceptions of someone going, oh, it's a bit shit him, I wouldn't play him. It's your fourth choice centre half.
And he's been solid,
And he's been solid. What more can you ask for him? And again, he was a free transfer. Yeah. I get you can improve, and everyone's going to say, oh, you can buy Koulibaly and buy all these people. I wouldn't go and spend a significant amount of our transfer budget or war chest, shall we say, because that's what gets thrown out every year, on a centre-half. But I'd definitely get rid of one of them. And I'd be more inclined to say Lovren, because I think he's another player who's got, again, with Moreno, Karius.
A bit of baggage.
Yeah, they've got baggage, and I don't want that anymore. I was like, again, you know, they might be nice lads, whatever, but again, you've got to be selfish and go, no, it's a little football club, mate, if you're not up to our standard. Kind of a see you later thing. He's not reliable.
Yeah.
So if Matic was injured now, again, someone else who isn't reliable. Gomez has been really unlucky. He had some major injuries, but I don't think he's not as bad as them two.
He's got a ceiling of Van Dijk.
So also, I think it'd be Van Dijk and Gomez that start centre half, Trent at right back, and Robertson left back. Alisson goal. But then I don't want the drop off to be massive, because again, if we want to fight for all fronts, we want to push for a title challenge next season as well. I want the standard underneath them to be higher than what it is now, because I don't believe it's anything. I don't think Klopp trusts Moreno at all.
No.
a Milner issue on in. Fabinho's been at right back. We played a 16-year-old at centre-half.
Well, that's the problem
against
for me,
Wolves.
Is you're looking now, and for the past few games, we've not had a defender on the bench, an out-and-out defender. So if let's say, for argument's sake, against Burnley, John Matip gets injured.
We Fabinho then have drops.
To drop Fabinho in. Yeah, you've got Hendo to come in there. That's why Hendo's there. You put Hendo in there, and that's the big thing for me is we have to change the whole system if our centre back gets injured. You can't be having that, and maybe it's just a case of getting a young player. But there's also a case to be made that you're bringing someone like a Clavan who's happy to sit on the bench constantly, maybe not even make match day squads regularly, and just say to him, "Look, you're coming to the end of your career. You've got about what two years left of good quality Premiership football left in you. Would you do us a favour and sit on the bench for 80 grand a week?" You know what I mean? And there's definitely,
you asked me then.
Yeah, there's definitely a list of people who would do that, and maybe that, and that's a question again. I'll ask to all yous. If you're looking for centre back squad depth, are you looking for someone old and experienced who's happy to sit on the bench so we're not wasting Joe Gomez? Or do you just buy someone De Ligt? Apparently he's agreed to go to Barca. This is all rumours again, but would you buy someone like him? Young, hungry player to challenge against Gomez and maybe risk...
I think that's Gomez's spot, to be honest.
Exactly.
And again, I wouldn't want to spunk a load of money on that position where
when
I think...
You've got it covered.
It's covered to an extent, but then there's other places, so... Again, the drop off on Mane and Salah.
Left wing, that's a mad one.
Isn't great. Centre forwards, fine. Bobby Firmino is irreplaceable, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't think you can get anywhere a like for like striker out there. He's not even a striker for a start, so that's why. But the work he does, the way he combines with Mane and Salah is immense. And then we saw on Burnley when Sturridge came on, he dropped to a 10, and he started being a creative player. And I was like, going, "Oh, we've needed that for a good few weeks, but I wouldn't have."
Who does that on World Football?
Exactly, but I wouldn't put Sturridge in there.
Yeah.
So I'd like someone who can do what Bobby does, as in positions. So someone that can kind of play the 10 up or go centre forward, or even a natural goal scorer would be nice. So then he's got the freedom, because I think sometimes either hold it from three or force to play sometimes because there's no other option.
Yeah.
And the drop off is that significant, then you're not throwing a game away, but you're selling yourself short.
It's the wings for me, Def. I mean, obviously you can't replace Bobby Firmino, I fully agree with that, but I mean, you could feasibly put Sadio Mane in there and he'll do a job. He played
quite
well.
But then you're moving him to go. Yeah.
Exactly, so then you need your left wing, and who've we got on left wing? Pretty much no one. I mean, Origi's done an okay job there, but he's not a left winger. Yeah. He's got the pace, the best one, he's got a bit of trickery and fair play to the guy, but... And then right wing, I guess you've got Shaqiri filling in there. We've tried it with Lallana on the left. We've tried it with Keita on the left. You need an out-and-out winger who's going to play well with Robertson on that left-hand side in terms of the overlap. He's not afraid to get to the byline. You need another Sadio Mane. That's what you need. And how many of them are out there for good money?
Would you put Harry Wilson into the first team squad this season?
It's a strange one because... I'll be honest, I've not watched too much of him. I've obviously watched his goal highlights, and the goals that he has scored have seemed to be from the centre. So he's coming in from the centre. You know what I mean? And fair play, great goals, great free kick, set piece taker. I don't know how he'd fit in. I really want to see him in pre-season.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for next pre-season.
It's the same thing every year with him, Ryan Kent.
Well, I think Ryan Kent's gone now. He's not had a good enough season. If you're looking at Wilson... Yeah. That's the standard. You've got to be the best, and he is at the moment.
He's shown he can do it consistently. That
exactly.
was the other thing.
And Ryan Kent, all right, he's playing okay over at Rangers, but he's just not got the goal return. I've watched a little bit of Rangers this season. He looks okay, and I remember pre-season in Germany last time. He looked really good in terms of his trickery. He wasn't afraid to take people on.
Was it this year where he came back and he was quite. Slight, wasn't he? And he just come back and he was like that. I was going, "Oh, this is he'd be good this year."
Yeah.
Oh no, he's going to Rangers. Okay,
exactly, and that's the thing is, I mean, I'm interested to know your thoughts on the Wilson stuff as well, but I don't know. He can do it through the centre, maybe, but can he do it on the left hand side? I don't know.
I'm the same as you. I'm not going to sell myself on Wilson because again, I've seen goals and I'm all down for that. Fine. But, Klopp requires much more than that from his players. Yeah. Again, he's his work rate up to scratch. There was rumours that he was... I think it was Goal that reported that he was supposed to be going to Leicester. on loan next season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the plug got pulled because we didn't have enough character for Rodgers, so we didn't go. So maybe the plan's already there to loan him out again next season. Again, he's got youth on his side, so he's still pretty young. That's fine. I'm just thinking, in my mind, you've got so many gaps to fill or to improve on. Would he save you a bit of money somewhere?
No, it's not
my money, so I don't care.
No, exactly. That is fair enough. That's the number one topic, first topic. Mm. I don't know what I'm talking about. We're going to plug something else. It's not merch this time. It is something on the redmentv.com. This is the Around the League podcast. Here's a little clip from that.
And also, as you say, the Jordan Pickford stuff, which, well, it was. Let's start there because why not? It was a bizarre moment of madness from England's number one, and I don't know why we didn't get sent off.
No, I don't. Just, it's not even being dramatic. I don't know what the rules are anymore. Mm. I don't know how someone can. Well, first of all, got away from the decision. He's fumbled the ball again, and near enough handed Newcastle a goal. His personal performance, I thought, was immature, which is.
Obviously. Well, it's the way you kind of
he got caught up in the Sunderland stuff, didn't he? Goading the fans and stuff, and then obviously they were 2-0 up at that point, or they were going 2-0 up, and he was being a bit of a prick.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Again, this is something that VAR will clear up, and I think if VAR was about, it would have given a red card. But to me, there's some decisions that you can argue for VAR, but there's some decisions that referees should be getting anyway. He's nowhere near the ball, and he spears someone. Literally a rugby tackle away, and Rondon is about to score. Rondon just needs to take one step, kick the ball. I see enough and go, okay, you'd argue a defender might get back.
But it's stopping a goal scoring opportunity, isn't it? And there's this whole double jeopardy thing. This is what's complicating it. Again, last week complicated rules in the FA law book. But basically the idea is that if you give a penalty away and you're last man, you can't be sent off because then it's like a
bullshit.
Double whammy. But that's different. So the referee is therefore giving the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, he's going for the ball, which he wasn't, by the way, he really wasn't. Yeah. And has decided not to send him off by the laws of the game. So for me,
that's the problem.
That's the problem.
The laws of the game is the problem. There's no.
Feels like the second week in a row we're having this conversation.
Yeah, so it's. Yeah, I mean, again, as we said last week, common sense needs to be used, or a bit of. I can't think of the word. A bit of flexibility for referees to like make it a personal thing. Again, maybe the referee didn't send him off, because if he did send him off, they'll go, well, the law says that he shouldn't be sent off. So then, you caught in two minds. So the referee probably got sticky either way. But he wasn't going for the ball.
It was cynical. It was really cynical. And obviously, I was sat in my flat. It was mid-afternoon, wasn't it? I was actually following the Wigan game in the Championship, because that was quite a big game they were having. So I had all my score notifications on the go. And I found it quite amusing, despite being a Liverpool fan, that Everton got away with that and then basically went down the other end of the pitch and scored. I was like, that is so heartbreaking. I was like, oh, everybody will be blaming Mike Ashley and doing all that. And then
By the letter of the law then,
yeah.
If someone rounded the goalkeeper
yeah.
and you just cleaned them out,
It's not. It can't be a sending off. No.
Because if you're the last man,
he's got to be going for the ball. So yeah, it depends on the placement of the ball. But yeah, in theory, if somebody does you and they're literally about to shoot and you, I don't know, grab him by the shoulders, then that's going to be a sending off.
Yeah, no, but if you go for a slide tackle and you're going for the ball.
Yeah, well, no, that probably won't be a sending off now.
So, Ross, that's you and Ben on the Around the League podcast there. Mm. Just give everyone a little sum up.
Basically, it's what it is on the tin, Tom, Around the League. So we just discuss any topics from the week before, the weekend of results, the kind of top four race. We were quite lucky this week because so much happened.
A lot of happened.
Controversies, VAR, Ben, as he likes to, brought up FFP.
Which is a very, very big conversation.
Yeah, joking aside, we take the piss out of Ben for FFP, or I take the piss out of Ben a lot for FFP. But it got brought up again.
Yeah.
Obviously, City being investigated by multiple governing bodies. Just
the
kind
pitch
of
invasion stuff.
The pitch invasion stuff, yeah. What's going on? The standard of refereeing. Mm. There was just loads to talk about. So we kind of, the majority of the time we do it and we take off our red tinted glasses and just go, well, what does this mean for Liverpool?
Yeah.
To be able to, the top four race, we talk about that, and okay, it doesn't really concern us anyway, but to kind of see how that's playing out,
and
to actually take time out of your life to consider what's going on,
It's
good. It's just a bit different than talking Liverpool time. Everyone's here for Liverpool stuff, but if you have to something different,
yeah,
it's like an extended match of the day, but with shitter presenters, but more in depth.
Yeah, arguing about England and stuff. I didn't edit on it, and it was. I enjoyed listening to listened of. Moving on to the second topic. We've got a Champions League game, Ross.
Sorry, if you want to try the Round League podcast,
you can
do on the website, and your first month is absolutely free.
I forgot to say that.
Yeah. And there's hours of other content on there.
Tell them what else is on there, Ross.
Newsroom podcast, that's a firm favourite. No, so Chris gets in with one of the local journalists, spends an hour with them talking about their
really
life.
Good.
The one with Lizzie Doyle, the response from that has been incredible across the board. So YouTube, Twitter, our subscribers group, you want to head over there as well. On the website as well, which is phenomenal. He's done Pierce, Neil Jones, Melissa Reddy. Dave Maddox, another firm favourite.
Leon Prescott.
There's loads, honestly. And then obviously the girls cover the women's stuff. You know, if you've been into that, you're interested, or you want to learn about it.
Yeah.
They're all in on that.
Stats and Tactics. Stats is my favourite, genuinely.
Do you know what?
It's because I do the edits on them and I learn loads about Liverpool.
Even if you don't think Stats and Tactics is your thing,
because
I do the social post for it. And even if it's 2-3 minutes, it blows my mind.
Really enjoy it.
Oh, God, makes loads of sense. So, if anything, you educate yourself.
Yeah. There you go, we've got you covered
and
around
lots more.
Everything.
All of that for £5 a month, Tom.
Well, the best one's the Man of the Match podcast, obviously, that me, you, and Si do every single game.
Yeah. When we win, it's brilliant.
Yeah, when we lose, it's also brilliant, but not very good.
Okay, plug's done now.
Yeah, plug is done. That's the second plug. That was a longer plug than last time. Sorry,
that's what
everyone.
She said.
I hate plugs on podcasts. So,
you prefer them in your draw next to your bed, don't you?
Moving swiftly on to the Champions League. We have Bayern Munich tomorrow, Ross.
Oh, yes.
So, obviously, we spoke before. Paul, Chris, Si are over there in Bayern Munich. I think they've gone with Aubrey as well. So, there'll be loads of content from them over at the game. We're going to be in the office watching it here because
we
cannot afford to go over there.
someone needs to man the fort, Tom.
Yeah, no, it's true. But look, it's a massive, massive game. Bayern, look, a lot of people have been speaking about how Bayern are not the superpower that they used to be. They're still a consistent, like, they get to the end of the Champions League, quarters, semis and finals. They have done since 2012, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They've been at least to the quarters since then. So say what you will about a Wien and Power, they've got fantastic players in there. We held them to a 0-0 draw. We need to go out there and we need to just flex our muscles, show them that we are the new kids on the block.
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting first 10-20 minutes because I was baffled the way that they set out the game at Anfield.
Mm-hmm.
As they weren't really interested in scoring in a large part of the game. Going, okay, but now they have to go and score. Okay, I'm sorry, my God, they have to score to win. But it means they have to come out and play to some extent, which will play into our hands. And if they don't, they're going to sit back. And I think we haven't mastered it, but we're getting a lot better at low block sides, just sitting back and doing it. They were a different level, as were Manchester United. Yeah. I think you have to give them credit as much as you don't want to, of defensively sitting back and defending and being really strict, professional about how they do it and when they come back out again. But they can't afford to do that for 90 minutes, so they have to come out and play. So I think you kind of in-game management and go 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20, going, what are they doing? What are they playing at? And then we change ours from there. So if they're sitting back, fine, yeah, we'll go for it. If they come out all guns blazing, okay, well, we're good at doing that. Our defence has been immense this season, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, okay, our way form in the Champions League has not been great.
That's the big issue, Ross.
Yeah, which is playing on my mind. But that's not a permanent thing, is it? You learn from those things of what you're doing throughout the season. So, well, I'd like to think we would, but again, Bayern Munich aren't as crap as everyone was making out before. I know the Asian thing. They have got Asian players in there.
But Ribéry came on and nearly ripped like four players. Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. So he got three assists the other day.
And the other major thing who really impressed me was Kimmich as well. And he's suspended.
Yeah,
exactly. So, okay, fine with that. Sadio Mane is going to be running as the second choice right back. Fine.
Oh, I don't know.
And Robertson. Actually. Fine. What?
Who is the second choice right back? I'll find it when
not Kimmich, talking. Tom. So it's
no, I mean, it is a big thing. Obviously, they're without Kimmich and Muller. I think he's still suspended for elbowing someone in the head.
Did he kick someone?
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Went full Sadio, but like... No, same thing.
Oh, just an accidental kind of thing. Well, it's still a red card, as we found out when we lost 5-1. But we've got Virgil van Dijk back, Ross. You talk about a defence. That means Fabinho can then shift up into the centre defensive mid slot, shores that up just a bit more nicely. And we play, obviously, Virgil van Dijk in there with Joel Matip or Dejan Lovren. The thing for me, and we did the starting 11 prediction earlier today. Obviously, they did the uncensored match build-up show where they gave you their teams. The midfield's the big one for me. We know what the back five is going to be. We know what the front three is going to be. We're expecting a 4-3-3 because that's what we play away from home. The midfield, I know you put a post out. I'm guessing that's what you're pulling up now.
Yeah.
The midfield for me needs to be as defensively solid as possible. And I know people are going to say, oh, you need more creativity in there. And I fully understand that argument. I get it. But are you really going to drop an Adam Lallana or an Naby Keita into this team? Are you really going to do that, or are you going to shore it up with a Fabinho, Gini, Hendo, maybe even a Fabinho, Gini, Milner? That's what I think you need to do, and cover the wings. That's my opinion. Again, leave me your thoughts in the comments. I'm sure you've obviously done it on the starting 11 and on the build-up, but for me, that's the only way you can go at the Allianz. It's Bayern Munich at the Allianz.
Yeah.
You've got to go out there and shore up that midfield.
The tweet that you mentioned before I put out after you did the starting 11, because I watched it and thought, that's the topic of conversation. And the difference in opinion from people is mad. A lot of people saying Fabinho, Gini, Keita, which I think is probably our best midfield three in certain games when Keita's...
Defensively, though?
Not defensively, no. I'm not saying for this game. I'm saying in other cases, I think it will be best. I'm with you on the defensive stuff, and it's really hard to kind of find that balance of going shore up the midfield, protection for the defence, and have some sort of creativity. But we also have to remember that two of our most creative players are our left back and our right back.
Exactly.
So if they're bobbing forward, it doesn't matter who you've got in midfield. Okay, people want that as I said before, the Chamberlain driving the defence, Shaqiri will drive the defence. He's got the ability to spray passes or a cheeky little ball around the corner or over the top or whatever we've seen it from this season. I think I'm going defensive with the option to change it.
Exactly.
But then I equally understand people going, don't go too defensive, because if you go goal behind and you're fucked.
10-1.
And if you need a goal and you're going, an hour into the game.
But then you can change it, surely.
Yeah, I know, but then people's argument is, what if it's too late then? You can't put Shaqiri on at 60 minutes when you're 1-0 down and then we don't score, because then people just go, well, why didn't you start him in the first place? Because you could have done something. Well, we don't know.
And that's the problem. It is that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain role. It's the role that Lallana played so well. And you've got to say to Gini and Hendo, you have to support the attack and you have to get back. Their roles are going to be so vital. Forget about the attacking side. Obviously, we're going to have our front three up top. Fantastic. And hopefully they take the chances. You've got Trent spraying balls in from deep. From deep, yeah, and Robertson hopefully close to the byline, getting there, getting in on the overlap of Sadio Mane. For me, then if they're going up there and they're actually most creative players, you have to have two midfielders in there who are comfortable covering both of them spots. Gino Wijnaldum and Jordan Henderson, and you have Fabinho in there stopping that midfield, like destroying whatever they've got in front of that. I think Jürgen Klopp's going to put out a team.
Do you know what? It's a nice position to be in, because last season in Champions League we had the same midfield three.
Every time.
And they were all goosed.
What was that, though? What was that midfield three?
Hendo, Genie,
Milner.
And did it get us to the Champions League final?
Yeah.
So two of them, two of them players in there are good enough to get us to the Champions League final. They are. You can't say they're not because they got us to the Champions League final.
I think you can make a case for Milner as well, to be honest.
Exactly.
One, because a Genie has been one of our best midfield or one of our best players this season. Mm-hmm. He's definitely up there. But again, me and Laurent had a conversation before. He looks knackered.
Yeah.
Absolutely knackered. Yeah, and I'd be surprised that he's played against Burnley because I thought, no, he'll drop him this game because he came up against Watford and he was knackered. Everton knew he was knackered. And Milner kind of gives you that experience in European football that I think you get and definitely gives the protection to Trent at right back, which I think we saw last season in Champions League, particularly against City.
Yeah.
Even Roma, we conceded a couple more goals
PSG
there.
PSG when he came PSG, in and hit Neymar straight away.
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of need that nous and that experience from James Milner to be able to go and provide that quality. And I think mentally he calms people down as well.
So you're bringing him in instead of in place of Genie?
You can make a case for it. I don't know. Okay. I could give you three or four midfields that I would like to see and give you certain arguments for each one. Because again, I'm with a lot of Liverpool fans, a lot of viewers are going, well, a part of me wants to see Keita in there, part of me wants to see Shaqiri in there. Mm-hmm. Keita, because he should be this player that we've all expected him to be. And he's shown glimpses. The last game he played, and he played against Bayern Munich as well. Okay, he wasn't brilliant, but he was a step up from what he'd been before. Yeah. And you play 4-3-3 and put him in there again. He looked a lot better in 4-3-3, by the way, than he did 4-2-3-1,
yeah,
or out wide on the left. You can go and put him in there. If Bayern needs to come out and play, but we've got someone who can go on the break and go and do it. Equally with Shaqiri, he can go and do that.
Exactly.
But again, if Bayern Munich come out and you want to shore things up for 20 minutes, half an hour, or first hour, like, go defensive then. It's
The big thing for me is you're talking about Bayern Munich coming out and then we're catching them on the break. So the players that catch them on the break are the front three and then possibly a midfield runner. Hopefully it's Genie. And then you're thinking about it. I got a few stats from last time they played us. So obviously it was 0-0. After that, they beat Hertha Berlin 1-0. Then they beat Mönchengladbach 5-1. And then they beat Wolfsburg 6-0. And now they're playing us again. So Lewandowski got two against Gladbach and two against Wolfsburg. Gnabry got one against Gladbach, one against Wolfsburg. For me,
Lewandowski get three in about 10 minutes again against Wolfsburg?
It only said two, but he might have.
I'm sure he got...
Well, then if you got three, then two, right? I know Ribéry got three assists, definitely did. And that's the big worry for me, is you've got to stop that because they're going to come at us. Obviously, you've got Virgil and Matip in there looking after Lewandowski, and then you've got Fabinho covering that as well if Lewandowski comes a bit deeper. Then Gnabry and Coleman ripped both of our full-backs last time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to...
Milner was right back there, wasn't he?
Milner was right back. That is fair. But Robertson, the first time I've seen him get ripped, since, and then I think he got ripped against United after that. I think it kind of dented his confidence getting ripped against Bayern. But he was getting
good job he played Burnley before this.
You know what I mean? But he got ripped, and that's the problem for me. Is obviously you've got Virgil next to them, and you've got Matip next to them. But you've got to. I'm confident that if you let off attacking three, run at people on the break, with maybe a late midfield runner coming in, if they've got the legs, we can score off that break.
It's that gamble and that commitment, and I think we did that with Adam Lallana against Burnley, and he was that was that extra man. Over the first goal comes from him going forward. Okay, it wasn't necessarily we went on the attack, but we just had an attack, lost the ball, and he's there. I think we've lacked that sometimes. Yeah. I don't think Lallana, in my mind, doesn't start against Bayern Munich, because I think it's a bit too risky, although he does the defensive work. Again, you could probably make a case for him, but I personally don't think he will. But again, it's nice to be in these positions of going, well, we do this and we do that. I've seen a lot of stuff recently, and it did kind of make me think of the Jordan Henderson stuff of going, well, he didn't play against Watford and we won 5-0, and then he played against United, we didn't win, and then we played, was it Bournemouth, he didn't play and we won, something like that. The succession of games are basically the ones where he didn't play, we won, and when he did play, we didn't win.
Yeah.
And then we kind of think, it's hard to argue that case. But again, maybe you can because of the opposition and the end-to-end stuff, but some people wouldn't have him in the Bayern Munich team because we kind of need to win. But then,
yeah,
I know you're okay. It doesn't have to be as black as white as if you're in or out the Henderson camp. I know that, but... I think it's likely that he'll play.
and I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll put himself about, and I think in that type of role where he needs to press high up, he really excels in that role. We've seen a few times where he's just come on and just beasted the game. Was it against Bayern when he came on? He was really good.
Yeah,
I feel like that was. So there you go. And he was up high up the pitch, stopping things happening. And it's one of them for me, regardless of the team you put out, regardless of even, I mean, obviously I want us to win. This is Liverpool back at the pinnacle of football. We're playing a massive European powerhouse in Bayern Munich. We're playing at the Allianz. I remember when we went there for the German pre-season, I'm gutted I'm not going, but I went, I can't wait for Liverpool to play it in a competitive fixture because it's such a prestigious place. And Liverpool are there now. And regardless, Liverpool are second in the league after losing one game in the Premier League. Obviously, we've drawn quite a few. That's why I was second. But with thereabouts in the Champions League, this is Liverpool back to the top. This is us doing exactly what we want it to be. And that's the thing. Obviously, like I said before, I want us to win. And I believe we can win. And we have the squad. We have everything we need to win this game. If we don't, then we focus on the league again and we're fine. And it's just nice having Liverpool having things to fight for at this stage of the season. So many seasons we've had nothing to fight for right now. Or we're going for top four and we're in this horrible battle. Whereas now we're like, no, we've sewn top four up, we're going for the league and we're going for the Champions League against a massive team.
Until we've had this conversation, I haven't found it difficult, but I've just not prepared myself for the Champions League stuff because your mind's so intensely focused on the Premier League and what's going on there to kind of switch. Whereas last season, like you said, it was like, oh, I look forward to the Champions League because it's a distraction away from a top four battle you can't really be arsed having, really. And I think I was on this day last year, we beat Burnley 2-1, or maybe the year before, sorry, 2017, we beat Burnley. And that was kind of like vital to get in the top four. And like, we didn't win, it was like, oh, we could have blown our chances here. Whereas now it's like, well, we're a point behind Man City. Was it equaled our best ever points record?
87-88, I think. Yeah.
Like, and again, like you said, we're getting the last 16 against Bayern Munich.
And that's, you got to be proud of this team.
32.
We are
32. 16.
Yeah, something. One of them numbers.
I really should know that.
We should know that. It should be on the sheet of paper, but it's not. Leave us a comment and say how stupid we are.
Yeah. I don't, because they will.
Yeah, no, exactly. They already have. Yeah. No, but I'm just made up that Liverpool are back to this level of football and we're challenging for these massive trophies, and there's not, no one can take that away from us. We've earned all of this. It is genuinely fantastic.
There's an added pressure as well, I think, because Lauren mentioned it again before, of all the other English teams are through.
Yeah.
And I know we're against Bayern Munich. I know it's a tough place to go. You kind of don't want that thrown in your face going,
United.
The only English team that's get through.
United, Spurs and City aren't through yet.
But City are through.
They're gone through. No, that is true. That is the horrible, hard thing, is if we don't get through, you'll be like, and you can't even throw that, well, it was Bayern Munich, because United are gone, well, we are PSG. So it's fair, but
and the referee.
But I was saying this before, right? If we get through and City get through, that's like, I care about all them other teams getting through. I don't want English teams to do well in the Champions League. Sack that off. If we're not in it, I don't care about the Champions League. But what a great message it sends out to the rest of world football. That English football, the most arguably the hardest league to win. Like, we're second and we've lost one game, like, yeah. I said before, five draws or something. Arguably the hardest league to win, and all four of these teams challenging for that are now through.
Yeah.
And it's big forces in the Champions League.
Mad how it goes in kind of stages almost, because like mid to late 90s, like, it was, like, Italian football was like the best. It was fucking amazing. Early noughties, when we know us, Chelsea, United, Arsenal were probably arguably always in there. And then it went to all the Spanish teams for about a decade.
Yeah.
Sound. Yeah. And then, like, you know, like, say, it's a statement for English football to say, well, no, actually, we're back here again.
I love it.
Especially when you're knocking out the likes of PSG as well, who was supposed to be
monument.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Do you reckon it's a case of everyone spurring each other on because we're raising the level in the Premier League itself? So when we come up against these teams, if you think about Dortmund are a very, very good side, and Spurs kind of blew them away.
I think Dortmund have just blown.
Yeah, they do.
Because they were so clear in the Bundesliga, and as we're calling this, the level on points with Munich now. And I was like, oh, you know, they've got to win it, and they suffered badly. do Tottenham really surprise me? Not that Tottenham are crap, but like obviously the 3-0 up at Wembley,
and then they won
1-0. And then they won 1-0 there. And I was like, oh,
two clean sheets against that Bayern, that Dortmund side. Yeah. Sorry,
Which is good. Man United knocked out PSG. Say what you like, they had PSG had loads of injuries, didn't have Neymar, whatever. United had loads of injuries,
yeah.
And by the end of it, in the last 5-10 minutes, they were playing kids that hadn't even played before, and they still got through.
City coming back against Schalke, as much as I don't really like City and I don't want them to win the Champions League, that fight back with 10 men was unbelievable. That Sané goal top class, like one of the best free kicks I've ever seen. And then obviously Sterling scores. I mean, if the fullback there was terrible, and we're not here to talk about them, but fair play to all the English teams that have gone through, and I hope it continues, sort of, kind of, maybe. I mean, I want us to win it every time.
It's double jeopardy, isn't it? Because if Liverpool get knocked out, then you go in. Your argument can be sound. All in the Premier League. City are ultimately through. That's an extra two games to them. They've got the Swansea game at the weekend, so they'll probably beat Swansea, so the next game for them. That's our only argument of going, actually, we probably catch up with them.
Yeah.
And if we go through, sound, we're into the quarterfinals. Fine. I'm all right with that. Just going to throw it out there, because I think I already know the answer. If Liverpool get through, who do you want?
Who do you want? Oh, in the Champions League? I mean, it depends. If Lyon beat Barca, then Lyon... I mean, I want Ajax. Everyone wants Ajax. Yeah, you want a trip to Amsterdam? Yeah. I think I'll go regardless.
Yeah.
Porto. We've had Porto. I think we've had Porto.
You've never been to Amsterdam, Tom?
I've been to Amsterdam a few times, yeah.
Well, you might have.
Twice. It was fun. It'd be fun the third time.
Yeah, I went once.
It's good, isn't it?
It was really good, yeah.
It's a really nice city. Lovely buildings, and the zoo's great.
Yeah, tulips and clogs. And
Yeah.
Cafes.
Yeah, and shops. Anyway, that was the second topic, and we're going to move on to questions. I'm going to start this off with Paul Machen, who's not here.
Well, the Paul Machen, it says here, Tom.
Well, that's his Twitter handle.
Because there is no other.
But basically, he asked the question, what is the biggest house party disaster you had when your mum and dad went away on holiday and left you at home? I once killed a 3-meter circle of glass and flooded the garden. I didn't have any house parties.
Oh, me either. I used to go to other people's parties for that very reason.
Trashed it. No.
I know.
We used to play this game, and I'm sorry if anyone watching this, if I ever went to one of your house parties and you found bottles all over your house, we used to play hide the bottle. I don't know if you used to play this. So when you finish the bottle... It's hide the sausage, same thing. But yours, I guess, is smellier after a few weeks. But
just didn't get that on.
No, it's fair enough. But what we used to do is finish a bottle or finish a can, and then we'd hide it in a place where they're never gonna find it until like 4 weeks later, when the parents like move a book out of a bookshelf and there's a bottle.
Have you had a party?
Yeah, exactly. We were them kind of bastards. That was always a fun game. But I was quite respectful of people's houses. I did go to one house, and again, if you're watching this, I wasn't involved, so I'm not sorry, but I am sorry for the state of the house that got left in. Her house got absolutely destroyed. Like, they had like priceless art on the walls, got destroyed. They had a punching bag. Someone jumped on it and ripped it out of the ceiling. Like, lights got smashed.
Whose house were you at with priceless art and a punching bag?
It was a really, really nice house.
Genuinely,
it was. I felt so sorry for her, like, and I once I'd seen that, I vowed, like, I'm never having a house party, and I'm never inviting people that I don't know. It's always going to be a close knit thing, because the way that people treated someone's house, they have no idea whose house it is, was despicable.
Yeah. It was never worth the repercussions for me to... I've never had any friends either. Probably. We never helped. But I used to go to other people's parties. I just didn't do anything. The very worst. Probably sick on someone's sofa or someone's carpet, and may have left it.
Yeah, but usually you clean it up type thing. I'm going to call him out here. Si used to have a thing where he'd throw up out a second floor windows. Not even he meant to, he just did that. This is when we were kids first going to parties, and you'd be outside just having a drink on the in the back garden, and you'd just see him open you'd hear a window open, and you'd be like, everyone move. It was fantastic. I remember he got caught by he got caught by one of the girls' mas doing it.
Oh god!
And yeah, he had to clean that one up.
Okay,
definitely had to clean that one up. But yeah, no, I mean, I never had parties in ours.
Lauren, have you got one?
No, I've never been to one.
Never been to a house party?
No.
You're not missing out on it.
To be fair, you're only young, to be fair, so.
Yeah, they're not.
They weren't all the rage.
No.
No.
No, it's like, fair.
No, but people have kind of house parties now, don't they? Prees, it's called.
Prees, yeah.
Yeah. To save some money because town's expensive.
Yeah. And there's less mess, I feel.
Yeah.
And you get rotten.
Oh, it's the start of the night. Yeah, you don't have a whole night at someone's house, do you?
Well, the problem is with prees, Ross, is that you go out and then you end up in town at one. And then by that point, everywhere I normally go to is shutting.
But how much money have you saved, Tom? And you're still off your face.
It's true. I'd rather stay at the house, I'll be honest.
Yeah, okay,
because I end up staying out till six and spending just the same amount of money overpriced bars.
Yeah. When we all went to Bailey's for a civilized drink.
Yeah, we went to Bailey's for a drink and ended up in town and...
Yep.
Good night.
Well, from what I remember. Okay. Anyway, next question. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang Golden Boot. Arsenal fan, I think you're fine.
At Marble Halls.
At Marble Halls TV. He says, not a Liverpool fan, but just wondering, how does Salah rank amongst your best ever forwards? That's the first question. And then, is any current player up there in the greats or potentially can be? So what about the first question?
Well, I've just kind of answered both questions with one answer, but it's difficult because I think people forget that Mo Salah's a winger, first and foremost. Yeah. I know that incorporates forwards, but he's a winger. So, like, I've written down here Torres, Suarez, can you compare them to? Because they were out-and-out strikers, ultimately, so does he fall into that bracket? And then wingers, old school, you go in Little, Highway, Barnes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I put here.
And it's like...
Can you class Kenny as a forward as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if you can compare it to them three because I didn't watch them. And in Liverpool's time, in my time of watching Liverpool, is Stephen Lanham is the only winger.
That's the problem.
But he wasn't a winger that came in, he was a winger that gets to the byline and cross into it. They're all completely different players to what Salah is, so it's difficult to compare what he's done. One of the great players, again, I think is difficult because
people. He'll be here for a season.
Well, yeah, that and. I think ultimately to be considered a great player in any club, you have to win stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Liverpool, he's won the Golden Boot. Sam, Liverpool, if Liverpool got trophies in the bank, because he would have changed this whole Liverpool side.
No, that's it. And the thing is about amongst our best ever forwards, we've had some amazing attacking players throughout history, and you could say, oh, stop talking about the past. That's what this club's founded on, is these amazing players who I never got to watch. I've watched them in the cup finals. I've seen highlight reels of them, but I never got to see them in the flesh. I never got to see their exact style of play, and I'm gutted about that. And hopefully we can start doing more of that on Redmen. Is showcasing just how good that these players are? Because it's a massive part of this club. We've won 5 European Cups, 4 of them, before I was born. You know what I mean? So
and me.
There you go. So you're like 32. So. No, but 4 of them were before I was born, and you can't discount them, but you've got to kind of learn about this. And so I don't know about them players. Probably Salah's nowhere near them. That's the thing. In terms of what I remember, I've got Torres, Owen, Fowler and Suarez is what I remember. In terms of forwards, my favourite. I think he's up there with them for one season.
Yeah.
But I don't think he needs to be here for a while, and I think you're right, he needs to win stuff. But then Suarez, what did he win with us? League Cup?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he is one of the best players ever.
But look where he is now.
Exactly.
And what he's won since.
He left us and won the treble.
Yeah.
So that's fair. Second part of it, is there any current player up there in the greats or potentially can be? I'll throw this one to you as well, Lauren, after Ross has answered.
Sorry, any current player that could be considered a great?
That could, in the future, potentially.
Virgil van Dijk.
There you go.
Virgil van Dijk, honestly, to God. He's not far off it now.
Yeah.
Again, we mentioned before about people transforming a fan base to being calm and stuff. I don't know how many times we say the same things about him week in, week out. Again, not a plug, but on the Man of the Match podcast, how many times we've picked...
Virgil van Dijk
or defenders this season. Well, that's Rob Robson's been up there as well, or Trent's been up there.
Yeah,
if that was last season, well, past 10 years, No, you're going back to Carragher, Hippier before you're picking a centre-half for doing anything. Unless you're picking Lovren for Dortmund because he scored that goal. Yeah. But consistent level and someone who is high the levels of everyone else around him, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, he's going to stick with us for a while. I'd pick Van Dijk, Alisson and Robbo, I think. And you said Trent there, I think that's a big one. It's amazing how that's our defence. I can give or take attackers, but I love defending. I love the fact that we've completely transformed our defence, and I think they're massive, massive parts of that. If you look at them players, Van Dijk, consistent, unbelievable. We're going to remember him higher than Hippier, I think, when he leaves. Alisson Becker is just, he's the best one since Reina, probably better than Reina. Who else, you know what I mean, in recent memory is better than him? I don't know. Robertson, in terms of left-back, same thing. John Anarisa, then Abeloa maybe, but he wasn't fantastic for us. If you're thinking about players who are given everything, and then Trent, just for the scouts thing, the fact that he can play right back, but he could mould into a Philip Lahm-esque centre defensive mid. That's the four of these players out of our back five right now could be.
I think you could chuck Fabinho in there as well.
Exactly.
Potentially, you could chuck Fabinho in there as well, because Gini's been one of our better DMs. Mm-hmm. But them two together, and Fabinho not on his own yet, but he's just a destroyer. He's something completely different to what we've been used to and the style that he plays. And again, people say about creativity. He's got creativity, and he's the DM.
Yeah.
The amount of balls that he sprays over the top, or you know, he doesn't get the credit because he's the pass before the pass.
Yeah.
So his stats won't say Fabinho's got 9 assists or something. He probably hasn't got 5 or whatever.
Mm.
But he starts to build up play, or he'll spray it out to the wings or to someone else. Or just the way that he puts himself about now is just like, again, another character, another physical element of our side, of the spine. Like, was it Watford we played, and he just chased someone back?
Oh,
he chased Delafeu back and went just like that. Not going to force on a foul. Fuck off, mate. I'll see you later. That's mine. And then we're on an attack then. Sad.
It's brilliant. Lauren, we might have picked all of them that you're about to say, but have you got any other shouts?
Definitely Alisson's up there, but I think Gomez can be as well.
Oh, yes. Great shout,
because he's still only young, same reasons for like Trent, young, up and coming.
Yeah.
But he can be just as good as Van Dijk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd probably go with Gomez.
You get people's form, don't you, before they get injured?
Imagine if our whole back line, back five, so when Gomez comes back, and then that's our back five, if they're all potentially world-class greats,
in fact, sorry, think of it. Firmino.
Firmino,
sorry, yeah. He's a good
But
great
even
shot.
Even Mane as well.
Oh, all of them.
Every single player on that team, apart from Jordan Henderson, because he's shit. Firmino. I mean, this squad that Klopp's assembled is going to be remembered in terms of, like, it's going to be... You look at the 13-14 team, and we had Suarez, and we had Gerrard, and Sterling was getting there. Sturridge was on fire. But then think about who we have in our team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who you're going to remember them in terms of their positions. You're going to think back positionally, and you're going to go Robertson, yeah, Alisson, yeah, Van Dijk, yeah, Bobby, yeah, Salah, yeah. Gini could be there eventually in terms of like a cult hero type thing. I don't think he's going to be there in terms of the best.
David Carrigi's a cult hero as well, isn't he?
David Carrigi, you know what I mean? Clavan's a cult hero, for God's sake.
Jordan Pickford, he's not even a Liverpool player.
Exactly.
Because they're on as the ball, mate.
He's done more for us than he's done for Everton, let's put it that way. Right, last question before we move on to the Q&A, which is going to be on the website. This is a doozy. This is really hard for me. You said you had an answer straight away, so let's find out. Ale Allison at Sir Comes says, you go out to town one night, pick a player from the past and present squad who you think will give you the best chance of pulling a fit beard without that player stealing them. Tough. Gives you
I found
answer.
It really easy.
Go on.
Charlie Adam. Charlie Adam, because he's got it in the bank. He's got a bit of money. He's still playing football at a relatively high level. But he's also fucking ugly as well. I might even look a bit like him. How bad it is.
Maybe you could be like Palmer's brother, younger brother.
We've both got square heads. He eats more pies than I do, but you know.
He's got a better left foot than I do.
Yeah.
I'm right foot.
I make up for it in other places, Tom.
Chefing.
I can cook.
There you go.
So there you go. So
that's
the
way to a woman's heart.
Food, I'm a feeder, so she never gets to leave me. Where's a fit out the door?
I've gone with similarly. I've got three answers here because I found it really, really tough. Dirk Kuyt.
Okay,
but again,
hey guys,
I really feel like he would he'd just be better than me at everything.
Oh, no,
because
he comes across as smooth.
No, he's smooth. He's so smooth, and he's won loads of stuff. Imagine you just go, what have you done in your career? And I'd be like, well, I work for a YouTube channel. And he goes, well, I scored a hat-trick to win us the title in the Eredivisie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was my last game. I scored a hat-trick against Man United from a combined total of 6 yards out. You know what I mean? I have no chance with him. So then I picked Kenny, because King Kenny, because I thought, well...
Kenny, when he was in his prime?
No, now.
You can't do that.
You can. What? You can, because I want to go off for a drink with him. I'm not even going to try pull Birds. I'm just going to have a drink with Kenny. And then Birds will come over to him. You can pull. I'm not asked. I just want to have a drink with Kenny.
He's that humble that he probably set you up as well.
There you go.
He'd be a great wingman, yeah.
I think that's the purpose of the question, though. You've got to pick someone who's going to be a great wingman rather than someone who's going to steal.
There you go. And then with that going... I've gone with Mo Salah because obviously he's loyal to his family. Mm. Everyone loves him. If I walked into a club with Mo Salah,
so you're going out on a night out with Dirk Kuyt, Salah, and Kenny, and I've picked fucking Charlie Adam.
Well, I mean, you'll have a great time in Blackpool pleasure rooms, lad.
Sound, yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, I've gone with the classy ones. You've gone with fish and chips, man. Fish and chips, man. It's a bad.
I'll enjoy myself.
No, yeah, you'd have a great time.
I wish you changed my answer now.
Let us know in the. Actually, have you got the answer for that, Lauren? You've wanted to pull a Fitbit.
I mean, that's not what a good time for, but yeah, sure. I said Lovren earlier just because I feel like he bigs you up.
Lovren's a show, yeah.
He bigs you up to everyone.
I feel like, yeah, Lovren would be good.
Plus, he's married with kids. So.
That's the thing. All these players are married with kids, so you'd assume.
Well, on that basis, I could have just picked any ex Liverpool player that's retired.
Yeah, but that.
Or one of the greats.
Well, you didn't. You picked Charlie Adam. That's what you did.
I could have picked someone. I could have picked someone who died, Tom, because they wouldn't be able to pull the bird.
He's married with kids though, as well. So.
Who?
Charlie Adam.
Yeah, but.
Have you seen his wife?
You're getting into libelous territory. So
someone married him.
Have you seen his wife?
No.
She's
is she alright?
She's really pretty, yeah.
Alright, well check
money,
that out.
Money talks, doesn't it?
We'll check that out after this. But let us know your answers to them questions. Especially the last one, like I say, I found that really, really tough. So let us know. That has been the podcast for today. Hopefully we've entertained you for, how long was that?
1 hour 15.
Wow, okay. I'm sorry for running over everyone, but hopefully we've entertained you for that 75 minutes. Quick math. We've got the bonus Q&A coming up where we answer questions like, if the game Wednesday goes to penalty, who's your 5 penalty takers? Favourite Irish player to play for Liverpool? We are considered by some as the B team, Ross.
I'm happy with that, Tom.
Which isn't the C or D team. So
your B team, because Chris and Paul are A team. Okay. You and Si are B team, and then everyone else is just... in the sea.
I'll tell you, yeah, no, I'm happy with that.
I've made up I've been promoted.
Make a Prem start 11 from a max of 3 subs from each team. So basically we went through each team from last week and picked the best players from their subs bench and made the team out of it.
Can't wait for that one.
I have a very good team, okay. I'll be honest. And then a few more, but another one that I'm just going to pick off randomly is, we get to implement 3 new rules as the top boss of FIFA. What are they going to be? So if you want to see the answers to that, there's a few more silly ones, which I'm not going to mention on here because you might not even come over. But yeah, thank you everyone for watching. Like I say, go and watch all of the post-match stuff from the lads when they're over at Bayern. Red News Roundup's out tomorrow before the game. We've done a final word for the Burnley game, if you still want to talk about that. It was fantastic.
Ran the league's out as well.
Ran the league's out. Go and watch that. You saw the clip.
Women's
and,
out tomorrow.
Women's is out tomorrow. That's Boss talking about the new kits and looking forward to Chelsea and Man City. Massive games for them. But yeah, nice one, everyone, for listening to the podcast. See you later.